Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All the world's a stage, but for the past year, a big fat curtain has been drawn across it. And in a city home to some of the best theater ever made, nothing is more exciting than hearing this sound again. Gives you chills, right? Well, this time has finally come. Theater is back in New York City, and one of the first big productions to raise that curtain is the New York Theater Workshop's 2021 to 2022 season, which kicks off on August 6th with the opening of Semblance, an immersive theater experience. The New York Theater Workshop has a 40-year history of producing groundbreaking productions that have gone on to win a total of 25 Tonys and even a Pulitzer Prize. It's been home to the off-Broadway runs of shows like Rent, Hadestown, and Slave Play, boasting an innovative slate of live performances at its two Lower East Side theaters each season. That is, until COVID forced the workshop to go virtual. But now, the team is ready to fill seats once again, and joining me now is New York Theater Workshop's literary director and dramaturg, Aaron Malkin, to preview the 2021-2022 season's five productions. We'll also discuss the following season's lineup, which has already been announced. Aaron, welcome to All of It.
Hi, Rebecca. Thank you so much for having me.
First off, what goals did you have for this season as you planned for, you know, the return of live theater?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goals that we had for this season were to be, as we've been saying, both bold in our art making and cautious in our approach to public health. We want to make sure that people feel comfortable coming back to the theater and really try to cater to the most risk-averse person who's excited about coming back. And to do that, we wanted to put together the most exciting slate of programming that we have. I think our ambition and mission is always to consider what we feel like the needs of an audience will be in a given moment in time and to challenge them to consider the world differently than maybe they have before they walked into our space. And so trying to contend with what an audience would need after a 17-month pause was an exciting and arduous adventure.
So the workshop has produced various virtual productions over the last year. Did you learn anything from those experiences that shaped this coming season or, you know, how you think about theater in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think we learned something, and I think I feel so grateful that we did not have to shutter entirely and that we got to continue supporting artists and reaching audience members. And I think theater is always, for me, about what you do with the limitations that you have. What do you do with imagination in an empty room? And the limitations of the last 18 months have been different and have been severe, but I think the artist's ingenuity has persisted. And a couple of the projects that we have coming up have come out of the last year and a half of artistic instigator work. The Artistic Instigator Initiative was what we had called this last seasons of work, where we challenged artists to have an idea that could live, that could be theater without being in a theater. And as it became clear that we could come back to the theater, both Semblance and the new project from Christina Wong both have grown out of that initiative to be something that we're going to welcome audiences back into our space with.
And we'll talk a little more about the work coming, but your team also launched a new program called the COVID Ticket Initiative. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always our impulse and our want that everybody who wants to come to the theater can come to the theater. And we recognize, and one of our main audiences is artists. And we want to be a place where artists can come to feel seen and feel challenged and feel inspired. And we knew that a lot of our artistic community was without work for this last year. And so we set up there's an opportunity where anybody who is an artist and who has been out of work can sign up. And there's a certain amount of tickets available for each performance that will be available when tickets go on sale to the public. And, you know, we ask for folks who have had work the last year to kind of take a step back and try to use our Cheap Ticks program, which is $25 tickets that we have early in our runs and occasionally throughout, But it felt really important that we recognize the hardship that people have gone through over the last year and make an invitation to folks to be back in space with us as we were returning.
Huh. And should folks just Google COVID Ticket Initiative or where direct people?
If you go, it's nytw.org/COVID-ticket-initiative. But if you Google NYTW COVID Ticket Initiative, it'll pop right up on our website.
Great. And you mentioned, you know, safety and, you know, those who might be a little risk averse, you know, audience goers at the top. So tell us a little bit more about what kind of safety measures the workshop will be implementing.
Sure. Well, you know, to start, Semblance is an installation of a film. So there'll be no live performers in space. And we're going to cap the audience in our home on East 4th Street at 74 in the space that can hold 250 people. We've done some renovations in terms of upgrading our HVAC system to make sure that we're all compliant with all of that. We're asking that everybody be able to show proof of vaccination or a negative test result for folks who are unable or don't wish to be vaccinated. And then folks will be asked to wear masks in the theater. And we're monitoring, you know, the public health situation as everybody else is, and we'll continue to make adjustments based on what the state and federal guidelines are. And then when we return with Sanctuary City, which will be our first show that will have actors, which will play in the Lucille Lortel Theater in the West Village and was paused by the pandemic, there'll be the same safety stipulations and features in play. And on Sundays, for folks who feel like they might want to come back to the theater but not sit shoulder to shoulder with a stranger, there's going to be sort of bubble seating. So folks can book tickets, and the tickets on either side of them, the seats on either side of them will remain unbooked as a way to, you know, ease people back into space, make sure that they can feel comfortable and really appreciate the beautiful work that Martina Mayock and Rebecca Fecknell and the company Sanctuary City is doing. So that's where we're at for now, and we'll continue to reevaluate as we move along.
This really has pushed folks to get creative, right, and find ways to just get people into seats and have them feel comfortable and safe.
Yes.
So let's dig into some of the season's unique productions, starting with Semblance, which you've mentioned, which audiences are able to experience, you know, pretty much either completely virtually or through an immersive in-person experience. Now, I will be chatting with Semblance writer and director Whitney White and star Nikia Mathis in a few minutes, but I'd love to hear your perspective on what makes this show so special.
Well, I mean, Whitney and Nikia are two of the things that make the show so special. You know, when we reached out to 27 artists, including Whitney, a little over a year ago now, and said, you know, Jim, our artistic director, offered this provocation. What would you want to make? What could you do? Whitney came back and said, I really want to make a piece that is centering and interrogating the experience of Black women, and I wanted to be in conversation with extant texts, and I wanted to be a series of monologues performed by the same actor. And initially, we had thought that it would be exclusively virtual. We didn't know kind of where it would fall in the schedule and the timeline. But as it became clear that we were going to be able to open again, it felt like what a beautiful celebration to return to the space with, in a way that, as I said, doesn't have a live performer, so perhaps it would feel a little safer and there would be fewer complications, but also would allow people to experience our space anew. You know, we flattened the space, and in June we spent 5 days shooting this film, and I got to sneak in to be on set a little bit, and I've seen some of the rough edits of it and the work that Nikia did to bring each of these 7 archetypes to life. So there's the woman who makes your salad a sweet green, there's a political figure, there's a rapper, there's a woman who is a child care provider. Nikia both finds an ability to make each of the performances unique and also to be so present as herself throughout them, which I think is really what Whitney was imagining. And we've known Whitney for some time, and giving her the opportunity to write in addition to direct, and to direct a film in addition to make theater, and she'll be back with us later in the season to direct Alicia Harris's gorgeous play On Sugarland, but to give her the opportunity to explore and challenge herself as an artist was really exciting to us, and felt like the right way to welcome folks back.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Erin Malkin, literary director and dramaturg at New York Theater Workshop. I'm Rebecca Ibarra, in for Allison Stewart, and you're listening to All of It. So, Erin, after Semblance finishes its run on August 29th, this season's next show will be the long-awaited return of Pulitzer Prize winner Martina Mayoke's Sanctuary City. Preview performances for the show began back in early March 2020, but, you know, were obviously suspended because of COVID. What is this play about?
Sure. The play is about two teenagers who are living in New Jersey in the early years of the 21st century, and they are both undocumented, and they are each other's sanctuaries in all sense of the word. And so the play is in two parts, and the first part is really about their relationship, and the third part, the second part, is what happens a few years later, and when they can no longer just be each other's sanctuary, and life kind of intercedes. Martina is, if you're unfamiliar with her work, she is a beautiful writer. Her way of writing dialogue and writing unique, distinct characters' voices is incredible. And the first part of this play is 57 scenes in 45 minutes or something like that.
Wow.
So the two actors, Josiah Chase Owens and Charlene Cruz, are doing a dance on stage. It's a very simple design, a beautiful, elegant design. Two actors on a platform for 45 minutes with incredible lighting by Isabella Bird and sound by Nicole Suleiman. And then kind of life interrupts. And it was a play that, as soon as I read it in, 2017, perhaps, it felt urgent and human and funny and something that we wanted to do, and it was the last show that I saw in March of 2020, and I cannot wait to be back in the room with the performers and the creative team to really finish putting it together and sharing it with an audience.
And this will run September 8th to October 10th, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think you're right. Yep.
So next up is a new project by comedian and solo theater performer Christina Wong. This performance is inspired by a mundane activity that many of us have dabbled in this past year, mask making. Could you tell us a bit more about the backstory behind this production?
Sure. So Christina also is part of our artistic instigator cohort. And when we reached out to her last June, she had already become, as she jokingly, but really, you know, poignantly describes an overlord of this volunteer of aunties who were sewing masks. And she was, you know, and she's both tongue in cheek, but also really talks about the invisible labor that has largely fallen to women of color throughout the history of this country. And this group of folks who are not exclusively women, but this group of folks sewed over 250,000 masks, and they got them out, and they made over 6 trips to the Navajo reservation with aid. They have a book coming out. And Christina's early impulse in March was to say, what can I do to March of 2020 was to say, what can I do to help? And, you know, and as she does, which is her nature, is to engage with a community really selflessly and then find a hilarious way to tell the story. So as part of the Instigator season last year, she did a Zoom version of the play, which was called Christina Wong, Sweatshop Overlord. And in March, as we were looking at earlier versions of it, we said, you know, what do we think an audience is going to need? They're going to want to laugh. And I think, you know, want a place not necessarily to relive all of the details of the last 18 months, but to process, to recognize what it is to be in a room with each other again. And so Christina is really, in some ways, adapting the earlier piece, but really it's a whole new piece of theater when she's talking to people in an audience rather than running around her apartment in L.A. on, with a computer screen chasing her. But it's going to be about the work that she did and the community that she built and, you know, what have we learned and where are we going? Who do we want to become? What have we, you know, what can we let go of and what do we need to hold on to? And she is just, I mean, she's laugh out loud funny and irreverent and, but has such amazing heart and generosity that I'm so excited to, you know, that will be our first show with a performance in our theater at home on 4th Street. And she felt like the perfect person to welcome folks back.
And then we might not be able to get into detail into the other plays, but we have On Sugarland and Dreaming Zenzel. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Dreaming Zenzel. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about those two in the minute or so we have left.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Alicia Harris is a beautifully epic playwright. Her play, What to Send Up When It Goes Down, just had a short run in New York and will be back again in the spring, or back again in the fall, rather. Her artistic instigator project, Brother Brother, is an animated film that plays through Saturday or Sunday on our website, so I urge people to check it out. But it is a play about a community, an unnamed community in the South, a cul-de-sac, a community that has been ravaged by an unnamed war overseas. You know, folks are consistently being shipped overseas and not coming home. And it is a story about six folks and a choir. There's 14 people in the cast. There's six folks who are waking up every day and mourning those who are lost and celebrating life. It is a play that I've been wanting to also do for a long time, and I'm so excited that we're going to be able to invite audiences in to see it. And then Dreaming Zenzele, which is opening, has its world premiere at St. Louis Repertory Theater in September, is the story of Miriam Makeba, who was a singular figure in culture and a singular figure in politics, and whose story remains, you know, woefully unknown, I think, in the United States today. And it's being created by Somi Kakoma, who is a tremendous musician and performer, and directed by Liliana Blaine Cruz, who has a beautiful visual imagination in addition to really being able to tap into the emotional life of the world. And it's a story about Miriam, who was a singer and an activist and used her music to change the world. And, you know, to be able to welcome an audience in to hear music, which is something that hear live music, which is something that I know I have so missed. And to hear, you know, there is certainly sorrow in the piece, and she faced many hardships and traumas in her life, but she found a way to overcome them. And the frame of the piece is that it's her final concert, and she's reflecting back on her life and performing to an audience in the present moment.
And we're going to have to leave it there for time. I'm Rebecca Ibarra, filling in for Allison Stewart, and I've been speaking with New York Theater Workshop literary director and dramaturg Aaron Malkin. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us and all of it.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye.